Welcome back to Misunderstood Podcast. I mean, it's going to be a movement here. We're starting a series. We're starting a conversation. We're engaging with student politics because that's what you've asked for. That's what we've engaged with. And this series is going to start in high school, start where a lot of people start their student politic journey and where people engage with various policies, identities, people, and ideas. There'll be a variety of individuals with a variety of identities, personalities, who will speak about their experience, their hopes, their dreams, and potentially speak about what their future looks like within South Africa. How are you today? Introduce yourself. Enjoy.
Hi, I'm Makana Kadumbu, and I'm pretty good today. I'm not too bad.
That's good to hear. I mean, my first question to you is, how have you felt? What's your current position at school? I mean, obviously you're leaving school.
Yeah.
And I think you would have left school by the time this is out. But what's your position? What's that been like? How's school been for you? What's your school journey? What's your story?
Well, I'm head girl at St. Andrew's School for Girls. And it's been okay. It's been okay. I think leadership in general is nothing you ever expect it to be.
Yeah.
Because you always expect it to be this big, grand thing, and then you get into it and you realize it's not that much work. And yeah, I think it's not that stressful, if I'm being completely honest. Most of the stress comes from school and the pressure from that, and the social pressure of being a leader and having to stand up for people, fight for people. But overall, I think it's generally not that stressful.
Okay, that's a different view to me. But my question to you is, when you were standing there a year ago hearing that you were going to be head of school, head girl, what was your dream? What was your vision? And now being a year out, how do you feel about that dream and that vision? Were you able to reach your goals? Were you able to encompass the values you wanted to install?
I think, well, my sister was deputy head girl when I was in grade 8.
Ish, family excellence.
So a lot of the time she was fighting for a lot of racial issues and stuff like that. And I wanted to fight for that and continue on with that. So that was my main goal. I didn't have any specific goals in general. I think I just value peace in the school. So I don't have goals that are specific to a certain part of the school. So yeah, it was an interesting journey, especially because as soon as we came into leadership, we got in a fight with some junior school teachers because we were trying to fight racism and we just basically had a confrontation with the junior school and said that most of the issues in the school come from there. So it was like a very tricky place to be in. So there was a lot of conflict coming into the position. And then I think after that, I just started valuing peace a lot more, because in that moment there was just so much conflict and we had meetings every single day. So I think most of the year I've just tried to have peace and try to keep everyone else happy.
So my question into that is kind of the idea behind what struck that conflict. Was it a engagement that you guys initiated, or did something happen and it resulted in a long conflict that was outdrawn?
I mean, a lot of people in our grade have a lot of stories from junior school, you know, of like teachers saying the N-word or teachers singling them out. And we just realized that there were very little stories about actual high school experiences. So we decided to talk to the junior school teachers about it. And we did it, but it wasn't successful, if I'm being honest. Even though we had multiple different stories from different grades, every story came with a rebuttal. And then we started realizing that it's just difficult to fight that. So we stopped.
I mean, that's interesting because I think, I mean, if I look back to just history in general and private schools around racism, I mean, I know my school in particular has had multiple incidents, and the biggest one was Micah House. Is a lot of schools tend to fear student outrage and tend to care significantly more about issues that make them look bad in the media. And my question then is that within the political scope of obviously having been at the back turn of Micah House, which I think a few private schools had spoken about, had looked to take an interest in, is how far do you think your school is politically in terms of mindset? Do you think that they're liberal? Or do you think that they're still stuck in an old framework which says school is simply school and you're here to get an education?
Oof, that's a tricky question. I think on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd rate it a 3.
Ooh.
But I'd say that a lot of people are silenced, or they choose to remain silenced because they know the repercussions of saying things which are not liberal. So I think I've heard in certain spaces people voice their true opinions on like various different issues, and they're very conservative views, but they wouldn't say that in public because they know that if they would say it in public, then they'd of course be shunned. So I think on a scale of 1 to 10, honestly it's a 3, but it looks like an 8.
Ooh, fair. Okay. You've made an interesting statement at the end that it looks like an 8. What's your view on that? Schools being and seeming like they're liberal, seeming that they're for everyone, and are extremely inclusive, believe in equality, believe in social justice, but fail to implement it at a student level.
I think it's detrimental. I think, honestly, at the end of the day, because, for example, in the beginning of the year, we had a lot of open day speeches, and we have to sell the school. So we did that to the best of our abilities, but oftentimes you hear certain people giving speeches and they say things about the school which just aren't true. And then at the same time, you hear parents nodding, being like, this is where I'm going to spend my money. This is where I'm going to send my child. But at the end of the day, the child enters the school and they're just not welcomed in that space. And they don't feel as though they are welcomed. So I think, honestly, a lot of people do find a home at St. Andrews. I'm not going to lie about it. I love the school. My friend, she was telling us how, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this on the podcast, but
go ahead.
When she gets drunk, she literally talks about the school. She's in love with it. So it is a good school, but I think there are some people who get into the space and they hate it.
Yeah.
But they realize that quickly and then they leave. There was someone who was transgender a couple years ago. She realized that and then she actually ended up going to St. John's. And the other people who get bullied, then they realize that and then they leave.
I think there's two questions that I want to ask. The first one being that with your school not being progressive, and not seeming idealistic for every student, how do you feel leaving and feeling that you've been a part of the leadership and potentially could have implemented changes? And successfully or unsuccessfully has changed the culture around the school?
I think it's tricky. A lot of leadership comes down to letting go of a lot of expectation.
Yeah.
In my opinion, there's only so much you can do. And of course, I would have wished to do a lot more for the school, but I'm kind of proud with what I've done so far. It's tricky to answer that question because you can't really quantify anything you do in leadership, and there's a high chance that whatever I do now will be reversed after. But I think so far I'm pretty happy with what I've done, and I hope everyone else is happy too.
I mean, I guess that's everyone's hope when we're like in leadership positions. You hope that people are going to take some value from what you did and what you tried to implement. And then I think my second question, which is probably a very politically like motivated question, is the idea of schools, especially monogamistic schools, same-sex schools, navigating identity. What has been your school's take on that? What's your take if you want to share that? And how do you feel schools need to go about moving that forward?
I think there needs to be a lot more collaboration between same-sex schools, because I know that a lot of people within our school go ballistic when they see boys.
Yeah, fair.
And I mean, that's not 100% detrimental all the time, but I think I've seen a lot of my friends specifically get into relationships that don't serve them because of that. And the people in our school are strong. I'm not going to lie about that. But I think sometimes the relationships they choose are a little bit questionable just because they've continuously being in a single sex school, and then just because of that difference, they think that difference is good, it's new and exciting. So I think that's the only detrimental part, but I think everything else is fairly fine.
I mean, it's interesting that you say that, because I think the reflection of that on the boys' end is it's a horrid culture and it's a scary culture. That one is motivated by different means and different intents, and you can never really tell whose intent is genuine and whose isn't. But also there is almost, I don't want to say it's over-education, because people are going to think that I think boys' schools get educated too much, but it's almost the wrong education around how to engage with women, and how to discuss certain ideas. Because I guess one of the things that we have as a beauty as our school is that by the time you get to grade 11 and grade 12, you've got girls on campus. So day-to-day interactions become so normal, and you're saying that people are ballistic. But when it becomes political, a lot of the boys tend to revere back to the conservative thinking. And it's interesting that you say people choose the wrong people, because then my question is that in people making those decisions, how much do you think girls' schools have to play in not only, I don't even want to say educate, because I feel like educated also is one of the crazy words now, but how much do you think they have to play in educating boys in terms of how to engage with women, and also just educate boys on what's acceptable within society?
I think for a lot of people, school is where they learn. So I think both girls and boys' schools need to focus more on teaching people about healthy relationships. I love Allo, but I get a little bit tired of learning about bullying every single year. And I think we need to have a lot more conversations about that, genuinely, because sometimes the person you're with does genuinely make you or change you for the good or for the bad. So I wish we could just have a lot more conversations about that. I wish we could have a lot more conversations about a lot more topics, even topics such as this one, because I feel like there's a lot of censorship within schools these days, and a lot of the power has been given to the parents as opposed to the actual education system.
I mean, nah, that's powerful. I mean, I think that's true. And I think it also reflects on how certain students react to certain incidents depending on how they were raised, and like the lack of school education and the lack of school guidance that tends to exist within a lot of these issues. But you mentioned Allo, and I think Allo is a controversial conversation. I know in government schools, Model C schools, the Allo curriculum exists. They learn from a book. In private schools and in IEB institutions, I mean, you learn, I think you learn about a whole lot of nonsense. I mean, this year's topic was consumerism. But my question is, where do you think the Allo syllabus should be placed in terms of educating people in how to live life, but also educating people in how to live in a society that's forever changing, and where people are cancelled more and more for not only just their opinions, but independent thinking?
I think one thing I dislike about Allo books is that they're very linear within their thinking. And I feel they support a lot of liberal views these days. And there's nothing against liberal views in general, but a lot of conservative people still exist. And if you show them too much liberal content, they'll just shut down. So I feel as though people need to allow for conservative views. And yeah, I think overall, I'm not too upset about the Allo department right now. It's time to chill, to have a break, to just have discussions. So I do like it, but I do genuinely think that they should allow for disagreements. As much as I hate it, like if someone were to come and say something such as like, the sky is, you know, gray. They should allow for someone to explain why they think that and to have a discussion about that instead of just shutting it down.
I think that holds truth though, because even if I think about like the curriculum as it exists now, as much as they say it's a discursive essay, you kind of know what the right answer is and what the wrong answer is. And there's almost a line that can be drawn instantly between where you need to go and where you can't go.
Yeah.
But you say an interesting thing in terms of allowing conservative ideas or conservative voices to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work, especially where people are struggling to separate their identity from the idea in the conversation? Mm-hmm. Because I think one of the things that I remember vividly in my high school career was a girls' school came to speak to us, and boys instantly felt like it was an attack on their person and not necessarily a conversation about how to be better men, mm-hmm. how to be devoid of toxic masculinity. So how do you allow those conversations, and how do you allow those people to exist when essentially there's extremists on both ends?
I think from a young age, people need to learn that their values are not always correct. I think that's the problem with the education system, is when someone's young, you want to baby them and you want to teach them that everything they believe is the truth. And I also hate this idea of your truth. I think there's an objective truth. And sometimes you should let people know that they're wrong. And I think if you can give people enough facts, of course, sometimes people just come with certain views and they expect you to believe it just because it's what they do and because they have so much emotion and passion. But I think if you come with the facts, you can't debate that.
I wonder how that idea then is communicated to a lot of people, because the one thing that I think has become extremely hard is people deciding what is objective and what isn't.
Mm-hmm.
I think particularly around issues around gender, around race,
mm-hmm.
and things such as like microaggressions. It's like, who defines those lines, and how do you then say to people that this is wrong or this is right, when even people within those communities are disagreeing about those specific ideas?
That's a tricky question. I think when it comes to gender, it's a
gender is an inflamed an inflamed conversation. Fair.
That one's tricky, but I mean when it comes to race, a lot of people have the same ideology, and I think there's a lot more research done.
Yeah.
And I think it's possible to teach people different ways to approach people of different races. In our school, we've consistently had a lot of racial debates, especially our grade. I remember there was a camp where someone
it's always camp
where someone who was white said she was scared of the black people.
Jesus.
And that that argument went on for 3 whole years. But I mean, in the end, we're all happy. We've come up with the suitable conclusion to it. We've just had discussions with each other. I mean, there was even a discussion about what is racism, and then some people were like, black people cannot be racist, and other people were like, they could. And we allowed our grades to have a lot of those conversations. So I think at the end of the day, a lot of learning came from that, and a lot of people's views changed. And yeah, overall, like, we've genuinely dealt with a lot of those issues, and now we're fine.
I mean, your school is more progressive than mine, and you guys actually get to speak about things. My question is more now moving into like more of the future thinking stuff is, you're leaving school. You've now led a school for essentially an entire year. Do you still see student politics in your future, and how do you feel about it?
Honestly, I don't.
Really?
I don't. I was actually asked this question the other day. If I go to university, will I be a part of any leadership position?
Yeah.
And I said no.
Why?
I didn't have a bad experience. I like being head girl.
Yeah.
I learned a lot, especially patience and how to take a no. But it's just not for me. It's not for me. I think this was a position I was happy to be in. But it also taught me that I can't do it for too long.
Yeah.
I can't. Because I would actually go insane. There's so much expectation. As you're expected to lead a whole high school. And sometimes at certain events, it extends to all the way until grade naught. Yeah. And you're expected to represent the school values. Which is a lot to do, especially even in university, when you're expected to grow, to focus on your own endeavors. I'm very interested in like entrepreneurship and all of that. So it will be tricky to be within student politics, which is already very taxing, and also focus on my own degree, my own friendships, my own career, and grow.
Nah, fair. And I think my closing question to you is, you've just engaged with politics, you've engaged with students, you've developed an understanding of the youth. We're going into 2024. There's a question about, are you voting, are you not? And I'll let you answer that. But even if you aren't voting, it's just, what do these elections mean to you? What is your advice to people who are currently caught between a world of trying to decide what politics means to them? Mm-hmm. And kind of, what's your message to everyone out there?
I wish I could say I had a lot riding on these elections. But I think with a lot of private school kids, it's a thing of, no matter who gets elected, there's a low chance your life will change drastically. So it's difficult to say it from my point of view. But looking from a countrywide perspective, I think people just need to vote for a party that they think will make the best change for them, in their own opinion. A party that they believe will make South Africa a little bit better than it already is. I have nothing against the ANC. Most people in my family are probably going to vote for the ANC, but change isn't bad if it does happen. Just make sure you put your votes in the right place. And I also think, try votes for a party that you think has a chance of winning. I've heard a lot of people talk about how they started their own political party.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's good to vote and be like one of 100 people. But if you can vote for one of those top 10 biggest and try to vote for the one that you feel like impacts you the most, that will make a greater change. So I think people need to do that.
What's your message to everyone out there moving into 2024 and just having lived 18 years and almost completed high school?
I think just have fun with life. Don't put too much pressure on yourself. Don't. It's easy to be in a leadership position and feel as though you need to be a certain type of person.
Yeah.
Especially because there's a lot of comparison to previous years. But you shouldn't. You shouldn't. And you should kind of do what makes you happy. That's kind of cliche. I know. Everyone always says do what makes you happy. But genuinely, everyone has their own passions, their own desires, and I feel like people need to focus on that, because I think at the end of your high school journey, you realize how important it is to not only prioritize yourself, but also to just pick your battles.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you get to the end and you don't have any regrets, but you also recognize that some battles were just not worth fighting for.
Yeah.
So that's honestly what I'd say.
Well, that's the end. It's short film, so it's not the hour-long thing anymore.
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
How do you feel like leadership differs in a boys' school and a girls' school?
Okay. The biggest takeaway that I have about leadership in a boys' school and a girls' school, from what I've seen, not necessarily what I've experienced because I've never been into a girls' school, the sense of community is significantly better at a girls' school. I think boys are ridden by their ego, and pride tends to take away at the ability to work, for them to work as one. But also, I just feel like the communities at boys' schools are very fickle. Like, we call it camaraderie, we call it chias. We do war cries on Saturdays and Fridays, but it's never really a sense of, when somebody in our community is hurt, we all come together. And I'd say that's probably one of the biggest differences that I've seen. I think the second is, I just feel like, at least from my conversations, girls' schools seem to be more understanding. They seem to be more willing to engage in conversations. Boys' schools, not so much. I think they're more quick to say, we don't need this. We're okay as we are. So yeah, that's kind of been it.
I think that's actually interesting, because a lot of girls' schools look to boys' schools for war cries. And that's all we see, of course. And then we think you guys have this strong sense of, as you said, camaraderie. But it's interesting.
What's your take on it?
I think boys' schools focus less on the person and more on the school. So I think for an outside point of view, it's a lot more beneficial. But girls' schools definitely focus more on the person, your mental health, how you're feeling, and all of those types of things. And I think girls' schools also have a lot less pressure, in my opinion. I think they have a lot less pressure. Of course, we have to say speeches a lot and do a few other things. But when I see head boys who are technically in the same position as me, just that they're in a boys' school, they seem to feel the need to be a certain type of way. I even remember one of my family friends once saying that you can't be the head of the school if you don't do a sport in a boys' school.
Yeah.
Which is different, because in a girls' school you don't have to do a sport, but you can still be a head. We look at a lot more different qualities when voting for a lot of our leaders.
Nah, I feel you. I feel you. I feel like we're going to end it there. I want to say thank you for coming. Thank you for giving me your time. To everyone who listened and got to this point, I hope you, hopefully you've enjoyed it. And there's many more to come. So keep listening, keep being engaged. Just have faith. Once again, this is Misunderstood.
Thanks for having me.